KEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The special counsel investigating Hunter Biden is filing criminal charges against a former FBI informant.
Special Counsel David Weiss charging Alexander Smirnoff provided the FBI false derogatory information, claiming Burisma executives told him they'd hired Hunter Biden when his father was vice president to, quote, protect us through his dad from all sorts of problems. The FBI determining that was not true. The special counsel now saying the defendant's story to the FBI was a fabrication.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Special Counsel Robert Hur will testify before the House Judiciary Committee on March 12th about his investigation into President Biden's handling of classified material. Nine L.A. firefighters were injured battling a truck fire when the vehicle's fuel tank exploded. Stocks closed higher today, the S&P at an all-time high. This is ABC News. Greece is now the very first Orthodox Christian country to legalize same-sex civil marriage. A majority of the country's parliament voted in favor of the prime minister's bill. The new law recognizes same-sex parental rights, but it won't allow gay men to have biological children through surrogate mothers in Greece. A lot of people love the new Apple VR headsets. They just don't love the price.
We've been working on this for years.
With great fanfare, Apple's Tim Cook announced the company's Vision Pro virtual reality headset on Groundhog's Day. And even though users like ABC's Will Reeve were floored with what they could do with it.
Wow. I feel like I must look pretty silly, but I'm having a fantastic time.
The Verge is now reporting that a lot of folks are taking advantage of Apple's 14-day return policy. More and more people posting on social media, they're bringing their $3,500 headsets back, complaining of headaches, eye strain, even motion sickness. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Eric Hovde plans to launch his campaign for U.S. Senate next week. That's what Hovde's campaign spokesman tells reporters. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is running for a third term. Wisconsin is a swing state as both major parties fight for control of the Senate this year. A last-minute amendment to Governor Evers' political maps bill might complicate elections this year. The legislature passed his maps the other day, but they wouldn't take effect until the November election. Democratic State Senator Melissa Agard says that means any race before then would be held in unconstitutional districts.
Speaker Voss is in the middle of a recall, and we're not sure what maps he would run on. Additionally, in the Senate, Lena Taylor was just appointed to be a judge in Milwaukee. So we're down one member in the state Senate.
Evers has said he'd sign off on the maps as long as they weren't changed. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Memphis tonight against the Grizzlies. So far this month, the Bucks have a record of 3-4. They remain in third place in the Eastern Conference behind the Celtics and the Cavaliers. After the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo and teammate Damian Lillard head to Indianapolis, the site of this year's NBA All-Star Game, inside Lucas Oil Stadium, the home of the Colts. The tip-off is Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Baseball. The Brewers making a trade yesterday with the Yankees, sending 27-year-old lefty Clayton Andrews to New York. In return, they get a prospect, 19-year-old right-hander Joshua Quezada, who was impressive in the Dominican leagues. The Brewers pitchers and catchers report today, some new players and a new manager, Pat Murphy, who was the bench coach and talked about just how valuable closing pitcher Devin Williams is.
I've been with the Brewers now, I think, 9 years. You talk about blessed, you know what I mean? Think of the other guys before Devin. But Devin, I think, is the most underrated of all.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with a few flurries around tonight and lows of 5 to 10 above. And again, a flurry or two possible early tomorrow, then some sunshine here and there for the afternoon. Highs warm up to the upper teens. Mostly cloudy and upper 20s for Saturday, low 30s Sunday. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allbaugh from noon until 3 on Friday. Join us for a week in review and a look ahead to sports this weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And I want to just give a big hey, Kunigiwina, to all my friends and relatives out there in four directions. We're, you know, we talk about Native issues are human issues, Haley, and Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I don't hear you, Haley. Say, Brittany, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you just fine.
Right on, little gaff there. Hey, we have a great guest here. You know, Brittany Tweed, you are director of Metro State University here in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, of financial aid. And we just want to get people out there on the alert, what's going on, and really happy to have you on.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Cool. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Metro State.
So I am the director of financial aid. And so I organize the structure of the financial aid department in providing aid offers to students and helping them my team will help them identify aid to pay for their education. So primarily at Metro State, that is students who are seeking undergraduate or graduate degrees, and that could be from a variety of different backgrounds.
Hey, I'm wondering, you know, in choosing a college to attend, and, you know, what are some helpful hints that you can help the students with?
Well, helpful hints choosing to a college to attend is probably think about what your ultimate goal is. So if you want to be a teacher, what amount of debt do you want to have as you graduate? So I know that debt is a really big hot topic these days, especially in the last decade, because a lot of millennials like myself are saddled with a bunch of loan debt as of going to college. So I think that always on the top of my mind is what's going to be the best interest for students. And so if you're planning on going into a field that's like nonprofit work or doing something like that, plan to apply for a lot of scholarships so that you don't have to utilize student loans in the long run to assist you in paying for your education.
You know, what I really like about Metro State University is I've had friends, and I used to be a high school teacher for 30 years, and I've had friends go there. all different ages, all different degrees. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that I know about Metro State University.
Absolutely. We have a very vibrant campus. Our student population, our average age is about 30. We have students attending from who are 15 all the way through 85. And like you said, we have a variety of different programs like individualized studies, our cybersecurity. They're just, I could go on and on about our programs, but we have a lot of different options. So affordability is the key thing that I think that lands a lot of students at Metro State here. In addition to our vibrant campus, and we have such a diverse campus from students from all kinds of backgrounds and socioeconomic statuses, ethnicity, things like that. So, but the affordability, we're the most affordable university in the state of Minnesota. Not only that, but we're the top university in the state of Minnesota for social mobility. And so social mobility is, you know, how folks will progress through the social standing. And I know that we have, I think, even a national standing of around 22nd university in social mobility within the United States, which is pretty exciting.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and Metro State, I'm old enough to know the campus used to be a hospital. That's how old I am. And it's a beautiful, Metro State University is a beautiful campus. But I also, not only are you the lowest, but I think one of the things that I know about, and maybe you can help me with, is just the diversity of learning, hybrid, online. It gives people opportunities that don't exist in other universities.
Absolutely. So that is a really good point. Even within our class structure, the variety of different teaching modalities. So online courses, hybrid courses, for those who like strictly in class. We have on-campus courses that are now fully reintegrated after the pandemic forced us all online. But yeah, so I think I covered most of those different modalities, but there is a lot of, and the other thing I was going to mention is our academic standards are, you know, though we haven't lost our academic standards, though we are the most affordable university in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, cool. Well, you know, and not only the affordability, but I know there's a lot of scholarships out there. And, you know, that's we're talking to Brittany Tweed, who's director at Metro State University here in St. Paul, specifically where I live. But let's talk a little bit about scholarship possibilities out there. I know that you guys really help facilitate and a lot of scholarships for our learners.
So the Metropolitan State Foundation actually has scholarship applications opening later this month for application for next fall semester. Those applications are open for about a month, but we do have a variety of different scholarships that are available for students to apply. So for graduate students, students seeking a bachelor's degree after or a certificate after their undergraduate degree, that's one of the only gift aid that students can accept. And our foundation is a very robust portfolio of scholarship opportunities for students.
You know, we have one question I'd like to ask, too, is we have a lot of people listening to us all over the country. Is there a reciprocity between Wisconsin and Minnesota or Iowa? Because I know we're on like 18 other stations live on in Wisconsin, too.
So as far as reciprocity, we actually don't charge differential tuition to folks that are out of state any longer. I want to say just before the pandemic, Metro State stopped charging differential tuition for students who are non-residents of the state of Minnesota. So that's kind of a roundabout way to answer your question. But we don't have reciprocity because we don't charge differential tuition to folks that are coming from outside of the state. So they all just get that affordable undergraduate rate.
That is awesome. That's something we should really be putting our flag on there, because again, we have people from all over the country listening to the show. We're here with Brittany Tweed, director of Metro State University here in St. Paul, and we're talking about the university. We only have a minute left, but I want to really jump into in the next segment here, you know, some of the things that, you know, I know as a former teacher, students are nervous. And they're thinking about going back to college. Some of them are the first time. And, you know, what are the competing degrees? And let's go back when we have some time in the next segment. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Affordability and anxiety over how to pay is exactly why I got into the work that I do.
Right on. Hey, we're with Brittany Tweed, director at Metro State University, and this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right
back.
Stay
with us.
And we'll be right back.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex, you make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving. Getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Metro State University in St. Paul.
Hey, we got Haley back. Welcome back, Haley. And we are here with the director at Metro State University, Brittany Tweed. And Brittany, I want to mention this a couple times in this next segment here. And before we get back into questions, is that we have an open house. I want to talk about that a couple times here in this segment. There's an open house happening at Metro State. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have a virtual and on-campus open houses the week of February 26th. So on February 26th is our virtual open house, and February 29th is our on-campus open house. So student services will be present along with our advising teams and faculty from different programs. So if students are interested in learning about how to obtain a bachelor's degree or maybe coming back to school for a teaching licensure or a graduate program, we'll have folks from all over the university available to assist. And then also my team is And the financial aid office is going to be presenting on different financial aid avenues. Obviously, a big one is the federal financial aid application, the FAFSA, or the Minnesota DREAM Act application. And so we're going to be answering questions about, I'm sure, FAFSA delays that students are experiencing, and then also give students other avenues and other scholarship advice to apply for and answer their questions about anything they're encountering.
Yeah, that's that's a stressful time, and that's great to have questions answered. And I know you're going to have a graduate program too coming up, an open house in April, but the dates will be soon to be brought up. Open house, come on and check it out. I think that's the first steps of feeling comfortable. And if you're a new graduate about to be, or an adult learner, which I hope to be at times too. And what I just want to say too, what's really cool about Metro State University is the teaching license, because we know since COVID, there is a big shortage of teachers. I know St. Paul has $10,000 to $20,000 signing bonuses because they're in such a demand.
Absolutely. There are also a variety of different teacher scholarships offered through the state of Minnesota. The federal government has additional teaching scholarships and grants and things like that too. So all of those questions though, when we're on campus, we can answer for students. Again, that's going to be on the St. Paul campus at Metro State. And then you can also sign up if your listeners are interested at metrostate.edu.
Right on. Hey, let's talk a little bit about what makes Metro State University really unique. I know that being a person living in St. Paul, but a lot of our listeners probably don't. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we talked about in the first segment, we have a wide variety of diversity. Our campus is on Dayton's Bluff, so we're overlooking the downtown St. Paul, which is a beautiful campus. We have a lot of really renowned faculty that teach at many other institutions throughout the state of Minnesota as well. And then the teaching modalities, we have online courses, hybrid courses, and on-campus courses for students. So we try to meet the needs of students where they present them, and mm-hmm. And offer a lot of different opportunities for students to engage with our campus.
And I know Metro State University, is really big on a strong commitment to equity, inclusion, Absolutely. And anti-racism, and that's really huge, period, but it's really cool for our audience to hear that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even since, so the mission for Metro State has been to remove barriers and help uplift students from underrepresented or minoritized communities. And so that's part of the reason why I love working here, to be honest, because I share those same values. But yes, and I can hear, Robert, by the way, that you're highlighting this information, that your commitment to diversity and inclusion as well. This is really it's a really high standard for Metro State. So,
yeah. And they've been known for that for years, too. And I think just the diversity and the diversity in degrees that you can get there, and people from all walks of life are there and feel comfortable. And I think that's an outstanding attribute to the Metro State University. So let's talk a little bit. We have a few minutes here, but let's talk a little bit about the graduate programs. What can you tell our listeners out there that might have a degree, and maybe they got a degree in something and want to get another degree or get a boost in salary? Talk a little bit about the graduate programs you have there.
Well, so graduate programs, we have 25 graduate programs, and we have additional certificates, just like you were talking a little bit about the additional teaching licensures and opportunities for, teachers who may be got their degree in one subject, but want to come back and train for a different licensure area. So we have a variety of different graduate program opportunities. And the main thing is I think our cybersecurity programs are probably some of the most highest attended graduate programs. And we also have shorter term certificate programs in that program as well. But ultimately, the master's degree increases an individual's earnings exponentially beyond obtaining a bachelor's degree, as does obtaining a bachelor's degree beyond obtaining just a high school GED or high school diploma or GED. So students who are looking to earn more money so that they can provide for their families and things like that, it's a really great opportunity. We say that Metro State students are lifelong learners. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, a lot of people ascribe to that feeling of being a lifelong learner just in general. But for Metro State, it permeates the campus community.
Right. And I know from being a teacher, that's a heck of a bump if you go from your bachelor's to a graduate degree, to a master's degree. And it's a nice bump. And I know people after being a teacher for a few years will go back to school for that. And also I know counselors have to have a master's degree now. I do believe, the counselors in school, and that's a tremendous thing, but it's also more learning and more going to school, and you can go to Metro State University and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great opportunity for increasing your earning potential. Absolutely, 100%.
So how long has, Metro State University been around here? Because like I jokingly said, I remember when it was a hospital, but I'm really old. I'm 62. So, but how long's a?
So I think that it was a hospital back in the 60s, and in the late 60s, Metro State was founded. I wish I could tell you more about the historical founding. I think that it had maybe a couple instructors and 17 students back in the day.
Right.
Don't quote me on those things, please. But I know it's just very inspiring, the institution since its inception. But I do know that the hospital sold the buildings to be used as educational space for a dollar, some, you know, very small dollar amount. Just because they believed in the mission. So that's pretty exciting.
It is. And it's 50 years ago. And like you said, the campus is on the east side. And Metro State is ranked number one in Minnesota for social mobility, meaning after graduation, our students move into better jobs. And that's really exciting. We only got like a minute left. I'd like to swing back to the open house and tell our listeners out there that might be in a car or something that weren't able to write it down and have a good memory like I do, but mine's short. We can give them the dates again and the times.
Yeah, absolutely. So our open house, our undergraduate open house for students who are our listeners who are interested in learning more about our undergraduate degree programs. We have an online open house on February 26th at 5:00. And then on campus, February 29th, starting at 5:00 as well. So more information about that or to sign up is at metrostate.edu. But ultimately, the main thing that we want to leave also with is Metro State's affordability in addition to the social mobility. So with that, I think that covered everything.
Wow, you did. And with 30 seconds to spare, Brittany, we got to do this again. Very informative. Again, one of the coolest schools that I know of, universities, Metro State University here in St. Paul. Thank you so much, Brittany, for stopping in and giving us all this great knowledge. And people out there have options, and Metro State University is one of the options.
Absolutely. It was lovely to chat with you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. Hey, we'll be right back with State Senator Mary Kunish, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The special counsel investigating Hunter Biden is filing criminal charges against a former FBI informant.
Special Counsel David Weiss charging Alexander Smirnoff provided the FBI false derogatory information, claiming Burisma executives told him they'd hired Hunter Biden when his father was vice president to, quote, protect us through his dad from all sorts of problems. The FBI determining that was not true. The special counsel now saying the defendant's story to the FBI was a fabrication.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Special Counsel Robert Hur will testify before the House Judiciary Committee on March 12th about his investigation into President Biden's handling of classified material. Nine L.A. firefighters were injured battling a truck fire when the vehicle's fuel tank exploded. Stocks closed higher today, the S&P at an all-time high. This is ABC News.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state assembly approved a constitutional amendment Thursday to ban state agencies from using race, sex, ethnicity, or other factors in their hiring decisions. It's the latest move from Republicans to fight against diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in state government. It will need to be approved by the legislature again next year and approved by voters before becoming law. The worker shortage is affecting all aspects of life, including the mail. Low staffing is linked to delays in rural postal service. Bryce Shanklin is a mail carrier who says more people should consider working at the post office.
I'd never have to worry about being laid off. The other benefit is all the federal holidays, ones like President's Day. Most people don't get that off. And then your health benefit. I haven't seen better health insurance than what I have with the federal government.
Shanklin admits the labor shortage makes it hard to split overloaded routes, which leads to slow service. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with a few flurries around tonight and lows of 5 to 10 above. And again, a flurry or two possible early tomorrow, then some sunshine here and there for the afternoon. Highs warm up to the upper teens. Mostly cloudy and upper 20s for Saturday, low 30s Sunday. Currently, it's 17 degrees.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we're totally blessed here on Native Roots Radio to have a lot of our friends, whether they're the governor or lieutenant governor of Minnesota and Wisconsin, stop in and give us a report. And right now we are really excited, as always, to hear from Wisconsin, the great governor of Wisconsin, and his update to us. So let's take a quick listen.
We've seen record low. Hello, Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers here. We've seen record low unemployment and record high workforce participation in Wisconsin this past year. It's time to retire the well-worn political talking point that Wisconsinites aren't working or working hard. Wisconsinites work hard, and they are working. But we know that there are still high need areas in our workforce we need to bolster and support, our dedicated healthcare workforce being one of them. According to the Department of Workforce Development, Wisconsin faces a potential deficit of 20,000 nurses by 2040. And between 2020 and 2030, Wisconsin's healthcare industry will see nearly 32,000 annual openings across occupations. Folks, these numbers paint a concerning picture for the future in one of our most relied upon industries. That's why we created our new task force on healthcare workforce, led by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, focusing on finding long-term solutions to our state's healthcare industry challenges. This task force will help us find ways to not only bring more qualified, talented workers to our state, but to keep them here too. This task force will then make recommendations for me to consider as I prepare my next biennial budget. My administration is committed to pursuing every pathway and seeking out every avenue to address our workforce challenges, just as we have for 5 years. Because making sure our workforce is prepared to meet the needs of a 21st century economy is a top priority for me, and it has to be a top priority for our state. Thank you.
Wow. Hey, thank you. Governor Evers, with a great update and report. You know, yesterday was an activity we had at in Minneapolis and all over Turtle Island was, we had the missing and murdered Indigenous women march in Minneapolis, and it was really heavy duty. And what I want to do, and hopefully we'll play some clips tomorrow too, Friday, but what I want to do is play one of the keynote speakers there. And it was really awe-inspiring. And this person will really sound familiar to you. This is our great state senator, Mary Kunish, checking in and letting people know about what's been happening and also her important work and the legislative important work this past couple of years.
Is, you know, the reason that we have the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office. She's the one of the reasons why we had the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force. And she has been a champion for this issue and for our issues. And so I want to invite Senator Kunish up here. And let's thank her and welcome her for all the work she has done.
Good morning. I am Senator Mary Kunish. I'm a descendant of the Standing Rock Nation, and this day always makes me so very, very, very emotional, because I know that all of you are gathering here today to celebrate Valentine's Day and the ones that you love, but you're also here to remember and commemorate and mourn those that we have lost, the loved ones that we have lost generation after generation after generation. I can't tell you how proud I am to be in this place, in this time, with the kind of opportunity and influence
that I can bear for our Indigenous people here in Minnesota and the rippling effect that it has across the nation when we address this historic pandemic of violence, of missing and murdered relatives across this nation and across any nation that was colonized by non-Indigenous people. This is not unique to North America. It's everywhere. And so as a state legislator, I am just so honored and in awe of the fact that I was able to raise the awareness and create legislation along with so many of you in this room, so many of the people and the organizations that have been doing this work for so long. And when I asked you to come to the Capitol and tell me your stories, tell the public the very most hurtful stories, you did. And that's what moved the legislation. So on Valentine's Day, when we think of our heart and we think of the broken hearts that shared their stories to move the legislation to first of all create the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, and thank you for co-chairing with me, Nicole. I have to say that we thought maybe it was going to be impossible, and we did it in just a few short years, and then we completed that task force, and the very next year, the state listened to us and said, we need a permanent office to continue this work. This isn't a one-and-done kind of endeavor. And we were able to create that permanent office of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. And for the best thing in the world to happen, to have an executive director, Julia Rudy, at the helm, bringing in the most incredible team. So I would like to say thank you, and can we recognize Katie Weeks was our champion in our state government, and honestly, we couldn't have done it without her. She championed it, she guided us, she made sure we had the resources. She's been out looking for some of our lost members. She's been a part of it, so thank you, Kate, so much. But the work continues. The work continues. I am so proud today to tell you all that we passed a couple of more pieces of legislation last year, and I'll give you a little bit of background on it. One day, about 2 years ago, I was driving to the Capitol, and I was looking at all those specialty license plates. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I kind of had an epiphany. I was like, wow, we need an MMIR license plate. And so I am so proud to tell you today that as of today, you all can order your very own. You don't all have to have this under Mary Kunish on it, but you can order your own. It's beautiful. It has the emblem of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office, and it has a ribbon skirt to commemorate our women. Not only are we going to be able to, make public and show this movement by putting it on our car, but there is a fund that we also were able to create last year. It is a reward fund within the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Office. I'm going to try to say this in Ojibwe. I am not an Ojibwe speaker. But the name of the reward fund is Gabige Mekwingagoziwa, which means they will be remembered forever. And the last session, the legislature budgeted $250,000, and then every time one of these is purchased, those dollars go into that reward fund and to help support our office, our permanent office. So I would encourage you all to get out there and order these plates. Help us bring awareness to our state and wherever you drive across the nation. Again, Minnesota is leading in every one of these efforts. Available today. Go online. Order them up. But the last thing I want to bring to mind the fact that in our community, in this room, across our state, there are so many broken hearts. There are so many broken hearts for so many reasons. Boarding schools, missing and murdered, lack of housing, lack of education, lack of health care, all of those things. And when I look around at many of you who I know that are hurting and those that I can tell have something inside of them, you know, just like me, my heart is just pounding, my stomach is tight. It brings to mind a sentence from a book that I read recently. Mona Sunakaur wrote an incredible book called A Council of Dolls. And there's a sentence I haven't forgotten from that book. And it said, mended children carry strong medicine. I just want you all to think about that. How many generations we have been trying to mend ourselves, mend our children, mend our elders, mend our culture. And from that, something good is happening. We were just talking over there, feel something really good is happening. There's a wave of awareness, there's a wave of support. And so as we go forward, my wish is that mending continues, and I too will continue to do the best that I can to mend our communities. So I thank Jamie Wich, Okulatanka, community. Appreciate all of you being here.
That was our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, who's on pretty much every Friday here on Native Roots Radio. So she has good words to say, and we're really proud to amplify her voice. And also, we are really happy about all the work that she's doing for her constituents, Native Americans in Minnesota. And we are just humbled to have State Senator Mary Kunish on Native Roots Radio on Fridays. Hey, up next, Wendy with the Sacred Animal section. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, I just want to remind you, everybody out there in Radio Land, that this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she does great things and brings out a lot of great information here about our relatives, our sacred animals. And without further ado here, I want to get to Wendy and check in with Wendy. Take it away.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. Today, I'm going to be talking about our birds. And if we have time, our cats. But let's start off with the birds first. So I didn't know this, but February is National Bird Feeding Month. I did not know that. According to Garden Center Magazine's 2023 State of the Industry Report, more than one in three respondents, 38%, have a wild bird birding products division. So check out these tips from the National Garden Bureau, and this is going to help educate you guys and customers and just people about birds, the various types of food they need, and how to create bird-friendly backyard habitats. I just want to say quickly that Robert and I, a couple of years ago, did that very thing. We created a habitat for bees, butterflies, hummingbirds, all kinds of little animals like that. Also bugs. We got rid of our front lawn. We got it out of there. And we planted all kinds of Minnesota native plants, all pollinator things. So during the summer, we just have so many birds, so many butterflies, all kinds of little bugs around our front lawn, and we just love it. So let's talk about the birds, since February is National Bird Feeding Month. So number one, listen, let's skip the pesticides and rodenticides, right? The chemicals kill insects and rodents. This is a bird food source, right? A lot of people they want their front lawns to be just pristine and no weeds or anything around, but that's killing all the bugs that live in your grass. So then they don't, and rodents too, and they don't have any, the birds won't have any food. It can poison the birds because the birds are consuming the prey that is in your lawn and eating the pesticides and eating the rodenticides. So let's just skip that. Number two, decaying leaves and fallen debris serve as a natural mulch. That mulch is also perfect habitat for invertebrates that birds eat, including the pupae. I had to look this word up. It's P-U-P-A-E. I did not know that word. Pupae, it's pronounced. I had to look up the pronunciation. Pupae of moth caterpillars, which is a favorite food source for baby birds. So, hey, you know what? I learned something new every day on this show. Number three, save the seeds. Instead of
deadheading annuals and perennials in the fall, do nothing. Allow the seed's head to remain on the plants as natural bird feeders. So, in the fall, a lot of people will go out to their garden and chop down and get rid of all the, you know, dying plants that you have there because, you know, most of those that you do will come back up again, but just leave them, right? Instead of deadheading the annuals, I never heard of that term either, but leave them alone. They provide food and shelter for the birds. Number four, appreciate the beauty of dead trees. And here's another thing that we have in our front lawn. I just want to put this in there. It's called a stumpery. So it's just really a pile of rotting logs, and they just stay there. And I guess a lot of people might walk by our yard and say, why do they have like a pile of rotting logs? But they provide habitat for bugs and all kinds of little creatures. So that's what they do. So appreciate the beauty of dead trees. Unless your home is in danger, leave dead trees standing. More than 80 species of birds rely on dead trees called snags for nesting, storing food, hunting, roosting, and nesting. So leave those dead trees standing and have a little stumpery in your yard. I kind of like the name of that too, a stumpery. Number five, being bird friendly in a small area. So if you have a really small area, grow a container garden filled with bird favorites or add planters filled with nectar-rich flowers. Add a bird bath, bird house, or bird feeder to your balcony. Place a basket of bird-safe natural fibers like cotton and short pieces of yarn in your patio so that they could use it as nesting material. So another thing here, what I did, I think Robert thought I was a little crazy, but I give my little dog Wanda a haircut because she's a Shih Tzu, so she doesn't have fur. She actually has hair that grows, so it needs to be cut. So I did cut it, and I did leave it out for the birds. I thought maybe they would use that for a nest. I'm not sure whether they used it or not. So number six, build a brush pile. Collect falling tree branches, cuttings from shrubs, non-disease veggie plants, and even this season's live Christmas tree to create a shelter for birds and wildlife from bad weather and predators. So they will use this. So there's so many things that we could do to help our bird friends. We also have a bird feeder in the backyard, which we fill up every couple of days. Number seven, plant more food sources for birds. Add plants that feed both insects and birds, like echinacea, you'll have to Google them, rudbeckia, switchgrass, goldenrod, a whole bunch of different ones. I should have looked them all up and got the pronunciation, but you could just Google plant more food sources for birds and it'll come up. Hummingbird favorites include salivus, asters, and monardas. You can find plants native to your area, which we did, that are good for birds. So you could go on autobahn.org/native-plants. So those are good reminders that February is National Bird Feeding Month. We want to keep our birds safe and we want to keep our birds around. Birds are dying at an unprecedented amount these days because of global warming and less food for them. So let's keep our birds safe and have a happy February. Thanks, everyone. Back to you, hey. Robert. Back to you, Haley.
Hey, big Pinagigi Wendy. Thank you so much for all you do. Great information. Really appreciate you talking about
it. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.